was a great privilege. Talked to Elder Stan Cale last night for a little while. And I was relaying to him since I've been acquainted, I've repeated this before, I've been acquainted with Brother Gary and Brother John, Sister Gladys for a number of years. But the most of the rest of you, I've just been acquainted with for a few years. About 4 years, I think. And I've relayed to Brother Stan how such a wonderful fellowship I feel among the brethren in this part of the country and the sisters. I don't want to, when I say the brethren, I'm including all of God's people. That's just wonderful. And as I was driving over this morning, I observed little things, and I get up here and talk about them, and you probably wonder, well, what's the point of that? But we were up here about 4 weeks ago, I guess, whenever they had the Catoctin Association. And left home about the same time. And I noticed that morning, traveling east, so you can see it start to begin to get daylight. And about five after five, it started getting light. And I noticed this morning it was about 5:30, about 25 minutes later, that it's starting to get light. And that's evident to all of us. That we're moving in the revolution of the earth. Every 24 hours, rotating around, and then every 364 and a half days, they tell me, making a complete revolution around the sun, and we're moving into the phase where we're farther away from the sun. And the stuff, those kind of things, I just look in amazement, because I know that every bit of it was created by God. It was set in motion by God. It's doing just exactly what God has ordained and holds it together. Oh, it says all things are upheld by the word of his power, and by him all things consist.
That's right.
That just is a marvelous thing to me. The work of God in creation and the work of God in sustaining his creation. I have to relay a little personal experience. I don't know if I can. Maybe I better not do that. It'd be too difficult for me to speak about. But I'll just summarize it in saying this. One of the greatest comforts I ever had in my life was going through a real difficult time, and it seemed like my mind was just moved to think about the greatness and the vastness of all God's creation, how he upholds it all things. And that's speaking of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go to the first chapter of the book of Hebrews, it's speaking of Christ there, upholding all things by the word of his power. All things were created by him, and all things are upheld by him. But the thought came to mind, it's one of the most comforting thoughts I ever had, that this great and almighty God that created all things and sustains all things and maintains all his creation can surely handle the problems of one little family or one little individual. And the amazing thing is that he beholds us, all his people, as individuals. I say this a lot. I'm going to repeat it again. I've said it to you. We hear so much about you need to make the Lord your personal Savior. We know we can't make the Lord our Savior. We know he said, "They'll be unto me a people, and they shall be unto me a people, and I'll be unto them a God." We didn't make him anything unto us, but he has made us something unto him. But he is a very personal God and a very personal Savior. I don't know where to go. I don't know which is more difficult, to have one thought pressing on your mind or to have a great number of them and not know which direction to go. I thought, I've certainly enjoyed what I've heard, all of it. I thought as Elder Jamie Hancock stood here, I liked the way he used that phrase, "We've got it," or "We've got this." And I thought there, I thought in proper English, "We have nothing." And then I thought in my natural tongue, "We ain't got nothing." We don't have this. We don't have anything. We don't have anything in the natural world apart from God. And isn't it a marvelous thing? And Brother Ralph just told us. Brother Stan points this out ever so often. Isn't it a marvelous thing that we have this great desire? I'm sure you feel like me. This is certainly one of the great delights of your life, to gather and assemble together with God's people and to hear, as they say, we had in the home church I joined, there was a man that liked to joke. And he said, "Where have you been this weekend?" And I'd tell him, "Why you want to run all the way up there and hear that same old thing over and over and over again? Because all you're going to hear is the same thing." As he preached a minute ago, Solomon said, "There's nothing new under the sun." Oh, but we're told over and over. Well, it was Brother Randy talked about remember. Paul said, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." We need to be reminded and put in remembrance. I was thinking about heaven and immortal glory. We were singing that last hymn. If I'm not mistaken or deceived, I could almost feel to be there, brothers and sisters. We get a little glimpse of it. And if the joy, just think of that joy unspeakable, and sometimes it's joy unspeakable and full of glory, just a little glimpse of that that we taste and we feel here in this life, can you imagine? We cannot imagine what the full reality of that is going to be. I got two verses I want to read. I probably won't take very long. I want to go to Ephesians, the second chapter. Read a verse or two there. And then I want to go over to 1 Timothy, I think it's chapter 6. I'm going to go to Ephesians 2 first. This is speaking of the eternal purpose of God. I didn't finish my thought. What an amazing thing it is that we come from all different backgrounds, various parts of the country, many differences in our vocations, our work in life. We could sit here and compare things. We have some similarities and we all have many differences as well. Yet the great common thing that binds us together is that like precious faith which we have received, it says, by the righteousness of God our Savior. We didn't get that. We don't have that on our own either.
Yes, sir.
That is the gift of God.
Absolutely.
And I've had this thought a lot lately, and I don't know if I can explain it. We think about grace a lot. We preach about, we sing about the grace of God an awful lot, and we should. Apart from that, again, we have nothing. If God had not been pleased to have favor on undeserving sinners, had favor upon us. And we talk about grace a lot. And it bothers me sometimes that we talk about grace as if it's some independent substance or some independent entity, if I can use that word. No, it said grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. When we're talking about grace, we're talking directly about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the grace of God.
Amen.
That came, the law came by Moses, and the law made nothing perfect, but to bring it in of a better hope did. He's our hope. He is the grace of God. And I think even when we speak about faith, I'm not going to take off on this. It would take too long. But it speaks about the faith of Jesus Christ. And that's something that most people, they just in their mind automatically, and in the newer versions of the Bible, they take faith of Christ and they just throw the word of out and insert the word in. And they say, you have to have faith in Christ. And they make that as something you have got to do in order to obtain the favor of God. Even faith, it's of Christ. He's the source of it. It's in Him. I can't even explain it. But there is no faith apart from Jesus Christ. There's no grace apart from Him.
Amen.
And it all comes together in such a way that God the Father will receive all glory through and by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Exactly right.
I want to read just a few verses, and you could probably all quote these, but I want to emphasize one verse in particular. Starting in verse 4. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." That, He's going to tell us why God has done these things. Why He's had mercy, great love toward us. Why He's quickened us together. Why He's raised us up together. And it says, Brother Eddie quoted the other night out of Colossians, the third chapter, said, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." And I love that next part. "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory." And He tells us why. That, verse 7, that in the ages to come, He might shew the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I believe through all the endless age to come, the marvelous grace of God, the mercy of God, is going to be put on full display.
Amen.
I have no idea what heaven will be like. We're told the many things that trouble us here won't be there. Chief among them, the old Adam nature, either in death or in the moment, the twinkling of an eye, those who don't sleep will be changed. That old nature's going to be gone forevermore. But I know one thing. In the ages to come, God will continue to receive praise. He's going to set His marvelous love and grace on display. And what's the display, I believe, going to consist of? It's going to consist of lost, fallen, hell-deserving sinners that didn't deserve a thing from the hand of God, didn't do one thing. He didn't look down through time and see a little bit of good in this one and that one and the other one and said, "Well, he's not too bad. I'll choose him. She's not too bad. I'll choose her. But this one over here, he's so bad, we're going to pass him by." All of us were fallen sinners in Adam. And I got one more, and I'll try to move on. I hope there's a little bit of coherence in some of these thoughts. 2 Timothy chapter 6. And I'm going to have to go back and read a few verses to get down to the verse that I want to get to. And the first part of this, the subject under consideration, is the love of money. And those that would set their number one goal and their number one priority in life to obtain material things. Verse 5 says, "Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself." That makes it very plain, putting it just in plain words. Because someone is prospering materially, that's no indication whatsoever that that is the favor of God upon them or an indication of godliness in their life. That's what he's saying. They suppose gain is godliness. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Some of the most contented people I've ever known in my life had very little of this world's goods. Didn't seem to be they had enough to get by, and seemed to be very content with what they had. And it was because of that godliness of God, and it's because God dwelt within them.
That's right.
For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content.
Right.
But they that will be rich, and he's saying there, I believe, they that are going to make that their goal in life, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I'm confident there he's speaking of some of God's people.
Absolutely.
But thou, O man of God, flee these things,
yeah,
and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. We'll stop on that word, Brother Gary. We were talking about it before the meeting started. I always think about Moses. Said Moses was the meekest man that dwelt on the earth.
Yeah.
And then the Lord Jesus Christ said of himself, "For I am meek and lowly of heart." Meekness means being angry about the right things, taking a stand for the right things, but not in the wrong way. And meekness means always being of a teachable spirit, where we don't take the attitude, I'll just use plain terms, a know-it-all. I know so much, nobody's going to teach me or tell me anything. I know more than they do. That's the opposite of meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. I have to stop on that one too.
Yeah.
Two times it talks about laying hold on eternal life. Let me say first of all what we all know. That doesn't mean that the eternal life of God's people is somehow in a probationary period, and we've got to lay hold on it and keep a hold of it, or somehow we'll forfeit that. First of all, that wouldn't be eternal life to start with. If it's something we can forfeit or lose, what could be eternal about it? He's saying lay hold on that. I believe he's saying using the very same motivation that he was speaking about don't spend in your whole life, don't put forth all your effort into obtaining things. He's saying lay hold on, put your effort into, set your mind upon that eternal and everlasting life that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We know there's absolutely nothing that exists now and never has been, never will. Not one thing, height or depth or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's no danger, none at all. It would require God's faithfulness to fail. It would require God's eternal power and Godhead to fail if one of his chosen, redeemed, elect, and preserved people somehow missed out on or lost out on eternal life. That cannot be what it means, folks. God forbid. Lay hold on it as our focus, as our primary goal, as our motivation, as what we seek after in life. And that, I believe, is what we're doing here right now today. Whereunto thou art also called. That just reinforces what I just said. I tried to preach that the other night, Brother Gary, the calling of God, and it says we're called unto his kingdom and eternal glory. If God has called us unto that, we most certainly are going to receive it.
Amen.
And I'll finish with this. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall shew, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. I just read you a minute ago that in the ages to come, he's going to show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And it says here, in his times, he's going to show. It's going to be made manifest. It's going to be evident, I believe, to every human being that ever lived on this earth. We already know today. We know he is that blessed and only potentate. That means he is the blessed and the only sovereign ruler of all the creation and the universe. And we know he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But in God's own time, he's going to make that manifest to all of his creation. And that's when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
I just think I'll just close with that. Let me just say this. Let me make one more paragraph. If it had to about that, I don't want to say one more sentence. It'd be a little longer than that. Think of the marvelous things we've been blessed to see in this life. Someone said, I can't remember which of you two elders it was this morning, how marvelously blessed we are to comprehend and understand the gospel of the grace of God. That is such a mystery to so many. The majority of God's own people have no comprehension of that. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Think what we've been blessed to see here. And then think what about what I just read you, that we're going to be blessed to see in God's time. In his times, it says, in God's appointed time, we're going to see the fullness of his grace, mercy, and kindness toward his people. We're going to taste the fullness of it in that day. I think about the old song, and it's not a hymn. It's an old mountain song. You have friends in glory land who left because of pain, but it says, weep not, friends, we're going home. Up there we'll die no more. But it says, it has a line that says, we'll live on love divine.
Yeah.
I believe we will.
Yeah.
I believe in that day, we live now on oxygen and water and nutrients from food. But in that day, when this natural body raised a spiritual body, I believe it will definitely be a body like unto his glorious body.
Amen.
But I believe that is what we will live on.
Yeah.
Instead of air, water, and food, we will live upon the love of God.
Yeah.
And then we'll be blessed to see, if you get mad like I do, sometimes the wickedness of the world, it makes me mad, and then I get in the wrong frame of mind. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. It happens to me. But we're going to see all of God's people. We're going to be, I believe, an eyewitness to the day when the Lord puts down all evil and all that oppose him. He's going to be revealed from heaven. And in that day, he's going to be glorified.
Amen.
All right. I just think it's a good place to stop. Just what a wonderful privilege. I'll just close with this. I had never been a reserved person. It'd be better if I was a little more reserved than I am, but I never have been, and I don't think at my age I ever will be. So I'm just going to say this to you, plain as I know how to put it, that I love you for Christ's sake. and I appreciate the love and the fellowship that you've shown me over and over and over. And we don't get any credit for that either.
No, we don't.
Because it says, back to, we've got this, we wouldn't have that. Beloved, love is of God, and he that loveth is born of God. So he gets the praise for that as well.
Amen.
Of what a blessing it is that we get to partake in that. Lord bless you.